You are listening to Spill
on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The nominating committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hi, this is Cecil Prescott. Celeste Carey and I are the co-hosts for More Talk Radio, which airs on KBOO FM 90.7 on Mondays at 8 a.m. For 30 years, Celeste and I have been encouraging and engaging interviews and conversations about politics, social issues, and things which concerns you, your family, and your community. Join us on Mondays at 8 a.m. and be a part of this community radio experience.
Thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability awareness. Let's Talk is a space for students from Portland Community College experiencing disabilities to discuss perspectives, ideas, and worldviews in an inclusive and accessible environment. We broadcast bi-weekly on our home website, pcc.edu/DCA, and bi-monthly right here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Today is the first Friday of the month, so we're coming to you live from KBOO studio. As the reminder, the views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of Portland Community College, PCC Foundation, or KBOO FM. My name is Asher, and with me today are Miguel, Michelle, along with our special guest, Jen Armbrister, Executive Director of Adaptive Sports Northwest. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Well, Jen, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm the executive director of Adaptive Sports Northwest, which is a nonprofit based out of Portland, Oregon, serving around the region. But we do basically recreational and competitive opportunities in about 10 different ongoing sports and recreational activities, ranging from wheelchair basketball to goalball, archery, pickleball, track and field, swimming. Wheelchair rugby, you name it, we kind of have it. And that's what we do. And we just provide opportunities, equipment, programming time, practice space, and coaches and volunteers to help run the programs throughout the year.
So cool.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Cool. What is Adaptive Sports Northwest as an organization, and what is its mission?
Sure. So our mission is really to serve youth through adults with physical or visual disabilities. And meeting them where they're at. So it might be folks that are wanting to try a sport for the first time, folks that want to be competitive, even to the Paralympic athlete. So we just are able to offer kind of a chance for folks to maybe try some things. As you know, affordability for adaptive equipment can be pretty costly. Mm-hmm. So we have over 100 pieces of adaptive equipment ranging from hand cycles to sports chairs, tandem bikes, the goalball goals, things like that. That again, if you know a kid maybe trying basketball for the first time, maybe needs a new pair of shoes, that's a lot different than a sports chair to play wheelchair basketball that's going to cost $3,000 or $5,000, right?
So
we're just providing opportunities for folks to enjoy sport and recreational activities. But like I said, we have a lot of the equipment, we have the practice facilities, things like that for folks to be able to try that and recreate. And our biggest thing is really to build community. I get folks that, from a mentoring standpoint too, a lot of our adults help with the younger activities and different things. So it's just providing that opportunity. We also go into schools and provide a school networking program as well for folks to be able to, you know, maybe a kid with a disability in their PE class, right? So we were able to provide those options and those equipment for folks to be able to use that, utilize that sports chair, you know, for their basketball unit or their pickleball unit. And we're always there as well, just to help kind of guide, you know, and just think out of the box a little bit on how to make adaptations accessible for kids.
That's very cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to be asking, or we're also going to be asking a lot of questions as far as like terminology for these different equipments, because I've never heard of any of these things before.
Yeah, same.
Absolutely.
How did you end up joining them? Like, yeah.
So I moved to the Portland area in 2010. Took a job at Portland State University as their inclusive rec person, and starting at the campus rec, you know, at Portland State University. We're the first time to hire kind of full-time staff to run that program, get that, you know, kind of in line with things. So everything from our rec center to offering actual wheelchair, you know, basketball or goalball as a college. So that was kind of what brought me to the Portland area. I knew the executive director at the time, Tricia Sewer, through her husband, who was the assistant wheelchair rugby coach for the USA team. I was a Paralympic athlete myself, and so our paths had crossed. So when I moved to Portland, I went, hey, you should have a goalball program. And they said, okay. They were known mostly for their wheelchair sports, kind of growing in. So we, you know, my background was kind of on the blind, visually impaired side, as well as just other amatory sports and wheelchair sports, coming from Lakeshore Foundation in Birmingham. So I kind of made my way out here. We were Oregon Disability Sports at the time. And so that's kind of how I got my start with them. I was a volunteer. I coached. I was an athlete. Served on the board for a few years. Became the executive director in September of 2022.
That is quite the journey.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a journey. Yeah.
Yeah. So. With that, like, we heard that you were in the Paralympics. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey in that?
Sure. So I was a kid growing up, sighted. So basketball was what I was supposed to kind of go to college on. That was supposed to be my career path, and things. And I lost my vision. I went legally blind at 14 and went totally blind at 17. But at 14, I was legally blind. I was left with peripheral vision out of my left eye, and was still playing competitive basketball. And it was right before my freshman year in high school. So still playing competitive basketball. Someone wrote a story about me playing competitive basketball, being legally blind. Arm Brewster's a fairly unique name. And back when phone books existed, and someone looked up Arm Brewster, I was living in Colorado Springs at the time, called me up, said, do you want to try this sport called goalball? It had ball in it. So me and my family were like, what the heck? Let's do it. and so it went down. I didn't go to the school for the blind in Colorado, but that's who had reached out to me and said, do you want to try the sport? So went down there with my dad on a Saturday afternoon, and got introduced to the sport at that point. My father and my mom were both avid coaching in different sports. And so he picked up a rule book. We formed a Colorado team that summer. And kind of the rest was history. The U.S. coach happened to be at Nationals in 1990 and scouted me. And I was fortunate enough to make the 92 team in Barcelona for my first games.
Wow. That is so cool.
Yeah, and then I retired after the 2016 games. So I was seven-time Paralympian.
That's so cool. And you said goalball.
Goalball.
Can you explain like what goalball is? What is it?
Of course. So goalball is played on 9 by 18 meter court. The goals go the length of the back line, so 9 meter goal. It's about 1.3 meters high. The ball's about the same circumference as a men's basketball, but it's about 3 pounds of dead weight. So 1.25 kilos to be exact.
Whoa.
Balls have bells in it. All of our markings have string underneath, thin string, so we can feel it with our feet or our hands. Basically, the ball doesn't have air pressure the way a basketball is. You can skip it, you can bounce it, but it's got to make contact before what we call the 6 meter line or the high ball line, which is the equivalent of where the spike line would be for volleyball, for those of you that are visual. It's got to make contact at least once before on that line and once before the other teams. So it's 3-on-3. Defense is basketball, kind of a basketball goalie. You're going to use your body to defend it. And then your throwing motion is more of a sidearm or underhand, depending on your style or if you want to spin. But it's delivered low on the ground, fast speed. At the levels, at the international levels, we're throwing around 30-35 miles an hour. on the women's side and about 40-45 on the guy's side. So less than a second reaction time, and hopefully if one of y'all is doing your job right, somebody's getting hit about 90. So you're hitting the floor, the ball's hitting you. So reverse dodgeball, right, with a much heavier ball. So yeah. So high speed, back and forth. There's a shot clock involved as well. So you have 10 seconds from first defensive contact to gather, get any passes off, and get your shot off and pass half court within 10 seconds.
So what's how does the score work with that if you get hit?
It's great. It's awesome. If you get hit, that's if you did your job. You block
honor points.
So it's like soccer. So the object is to get to the other team's goal, right? So you play on your end, 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. And so you're rolling it down to the other end, throwing it on the other side. And so if you miss it and it crosses that goal line into the net, then it's going to be a goal for the other team. So,
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's fun. There's penalty shots. If you get a penalty shot, or if you get a penalty, you have to defend the whole court by yourself.
It's a penalty shot?
So you have to defend the whole court by yourself. So 9 meters, almost 30 feet, right? That's a lot to cover.
Yeah.
In less than a second. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you ever have to defend the whole court by yourself?
Oh, yeah. Penalties happen all the time. Because, again, it's penalties if you don't get the ball down in time on that high ball. It's a penalty. If it doesn't make second contact before the other teams, it's a long ball. So high ball is probably the one you see the most by far. Because you're going up there to get your full approach. And so might get an extra inch or two there. So,
yeah. Cool. Yeah. How does Adaptive Sports Northwest advocate or support people with disabilities? And I know you talked a little bit about it.
Yeah. Like I said, I think we're here for the community, right, as a whole. And I talked a little bit about the school systems, for sure, with advocating there, but also within, like, local gyms and rec centers, our partnerships with, Portland Parks and Rec and Lake Oswego and different ones, just trying to, awareness in general. And then obviously the advocacy part comes in there too, especially around kids, right? And making sure that they have access to physical education and that they're not just being thrown on the sidelines to keep score, and some of those other things that you sometimes see. Mm-hmm. So it's educational around there, making sure we go to conferences, that we're, into the, the VA system, into the different hospitals around town, trying to just always educate, especially around sports and recreation, because I think it's a lot easier sometimes for folks, and not that they want to maybe not make it inclusive, but they don't know how, so they're scared. Yeah, so we try to advocate and try to educate and just be a resource to folks to go, it's really not that scary. The other big barrier is cost, right?
Yeah.
And things. So trying to advocate that way too as well and utilizing our system. I get so upset if we have equipment not being used, right? I was like, so might as well, hey, why not get it in kids? Get it into the schools, have people check it out so they can, recreate with their family. We just finished, our cycling program this summer out at PIR. But hey, we have all these bikes, so, check them out, do the equipment loan program, and continue that advocacy and keep going. So that's our big thing. And like I said, I think the more we're in rec centers, the more we're out there, we're always educating the public. And our approach is inclusive, right? So you don't have to have a disability. Just come and check it out. We have sports chairs. So if you want to play wheelchair basketball, I don't care if you have a disability or not, let's play it. You want to play goalball? Awesome. Here's a blindfold.
I would be a bit intimidated by that.
So I think that's part of my thing. I think is it's hard, being a member of the disability community. Like, we are always fighting for access, I think.
Yes.
All the time. And so I would think it would be hypocritical for us to be like, hey, here's a sport, here's recreational, but you can't participate, right? Yeah. So we encourage families, friends, community members, come and check it out, right? Come and play it. It's just a sport. We just do it in a different way. And so we have, our cycling program this summer, we have over 351 riders this summer, which is awesome. We're over 8 weeks and stuff. And we got folks on tandems. We got people on hand cycles for the first time, getting on trikes and just experiencing that. And we encourage folks to bring their own bikes too, right? So families are riding together and things. So it's an awesome program. And like I said, any of our sports programs, practices, we welcome everyone to come try it out, or volunteer with us, come try out the sport, just get involved with us and build that community. Some of our things, like I said, when you go to competitions, for a wheelchair basketball competition, you might have to qualify in for that. So you might not be able to compete at the national level, but you can always come to our practices and be involved in our community.
So. Oh, for sure. That's really cool. Yeah. Once again, you're listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. I was a little bit curious, you've been mentioning that there's a lot of different events that Adaptive Northwest does. Is there anything that happens like every year, or like is there any special events that happens with you guys?
Yeah, so we host a lot of tournaments. So we just got done with like our Junior Cascade Classic, which is a goalball tournament. So we had youth from around the country coming in, and we do that over the School for the Blind over in Washington. And then we have our wheelchair basketball tournament coming up in December. Sometimes it's in November, but it's usually sometime in the winter. We have our big goalball tournament that'll always be in February as well for the adults. And we host usually a wheelchair rugby tournament of some sort too. We help with the Portland Pounders. They host that. And then we also host a track and field competition. And hopefully soon maybe our own swimming competition as well. So we host a lot of those things. We have our annual Get in the Game fundraiser that happens every year as well. That always happens in May. And things like that. So there's always ways for people to get involved. Again, rather it's volunteering, it's coming out to scorekeep, it's doing anything like that. And then we have our, like I said, regular practices, right, for all those different sports teams or activities.
Very cool. You guys got anything? Michelle, Miguel?
Do you want to walk through listeners how they could, go to the event, or how does that work? Can you tell them how that?
Sure. Yeah. So, the best way to get involved is if you check out our website, adaptivesports.org. It has, how you can get involved, whether that's as an athlete, as a volunteer, as a donor. It has a list of all of our calendar events and things, and ours are drop-in. Far as our practice and stuff like that. So all we ask, if you do drop in, you're going to have to, sign a waiver and things like that. And if you want to, you can just do a membership prior to, and membership is for the entire calendar year. So you do that one time, and it always has a waiver in it, which is nice. And then you just come and drop in, rather it's archery, or you want to check out wheelchair basketball, or you want to check out goalball, our cycling program.
I love archery. I haven't played in such a long time.
I've never done archery, Jen, so that'd be super fun to try.
Oh, this Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Where is it at?
Archers of Field.
Oh, okay.
Tualatin.
So, Tualatin.
Is where we use at the moment. Yep. So.
That's very cool.
In what time?
Yeah.
4 to 5:30, I believe.
Cool.
Very
cool. Gotta try that.
Definitely.
I can imagine Michelle doing goalball. That'd be so much fun.
It sounds really fun.
Put on a blindfold and get out there.
Michelle, yes. To feel.
Yeah. If you guys the speed stuff, power soccer. We have recreation power soccer as well as competitive power soccer. So that's always a fun one. They have power chairs and strike force chairs for folks to try as well. So again, you don't have to have, you don't have to be an everyday power chair user. To play the sport.
That's cool. Can you explain what power chairs are?
Yeah.
Sure. So they're electric, power wheelchairs. But for the sport of power soccer, they have a guard on them on the front. That's a strike plate. The ball is a little bit bigger than a traditional soccer ball, played on an indoor court. And so they use using the strike plate to make contact with the ball, to quote kick it. It's 4-on-4. It's fun. It's fast paced. Our Renegades are our competitive side, but we have recreational as well for folks just wanting to try the sport and, again, just building that community. It's one of our newer sports. It came into our profile the last 6 or 7 years, but there was a need, right, because a lot of our wheelchair basketball, wheelchair rugby, some of those are our manual sports chairs, but we didn't have, a sport really for power chair users. And so this was it's a fun, great team sport for folks to play.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like that sounds pretty interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll host a power soccer tournament as well in the spring. So
cool.
Very cool.
Where do you guys do your track and field events?
We do our practices in a couple different locations, mostly at East Portland Community Center, Floyd Light Middle School. They have that track that's right behind there. So we do practices usually out there. And then we also have used some different tracks on the west side as well, just kind of depending on what's open at that time. But East Portland Community Center / Floyd Light has been our primary track. And then we've held our track meet out at Centennial as well, Centennial High School. So
that's very cool. Yeah. You mentioned different schools and colleges and organizations. What are some of them that you partner that Adaptive Sports Northwest partners with.
Yeah, so like I said, with the Parks and Rec Department, so, you know, East Portland Community Center, we host some of our practices and activities over there. We're meeting with Mount Scott here shortly as they go to reopen theirs. Lake Oswego Rec Center, Hillsboro Parks and Rec, out on the west side. So we partner with them, but then also our community partners, right? Oregon Spinal Cord Injury Connect, Shriners, Dornbecker's, Rio. So a lot of those, as well as the VAs, both here and, you know, across the river in Vancouver. And then we also partner even regionally, right, with, you know, Seattle Adaptive Sports out of Seattle and Rainier Adaptive Sports, just trying to make sure we can just be, right, we're always stronger together than in silos. So we also, you know, partner up with Northwest Association of Blind Athletes for some of our things. Like, we had our cycling series. They were doing their, you know, they were doing their the triathlon and things like that. So I was like, hey, we have the track. You know, let your folks know. Come out on Monday nights, right? Yeah. We have the tandems. We have those kind of things. So so we try to partner with them. You know, that goal ball as well, we partner with them. So, yeah, so just finding those community partners and making those connections. Amputee soccer, it's not one of our sports, but we absolutely, you know, try to partner with them. Portland Tennis Education Center, a lot of places within the community. Because, again, we always say we can't be everything to everyone, right? Oh, yeah. So we have a huge Try It series as well that we try to do. So we did, you know, paraclimbing. And we've with Movement Gym, and we've done adaptive tennis, adaptive pickleball, and adaptive table tennis with Portland Tennis and Education Center.
That sounds like so much fun.
We're getting ready to do a thing for adaptive fencing, both on the blind VI side and
adaptive fencing. Yeah.
Down
fencing.
For that.
Yeah, we're doing an adaptive golf Try It thing coming up. So we've. Yeah, we do a lot of different things through our Try It series as well. Because, again, we unfortunately we're a very small nonprofit, right? So we already run 10 programs, which is a lot more than, you know, from ongoing, right? Like, any given week, we have 3 to 5 things going on, if not more, between practices.
You can go to multiple things, right, Jen?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So it's not just like you go to this event, you can't go to the next one. Okay. So
no.
Unless they're at the same time.
You were banned from going to.
Yeah. No. And so, yeah. So it's so we're busy for our 10, but the Try It a series, we try to do one every other month. And we're just setting those up. They'll start, you know, in January again. But like I said, we'll do golf. I know we have golf on the agenda, fencing.
Wow.
Climbing. I'm not sure what adaptive pinball is, but we're about to learn about it.
Pinball.
So yeah, they contacted us. Yeah,
retro
so
pinball.
So yeah, so we're gonna, so we're meeting somebody with adaptive pinball. So that'll probably be one of our Try It events coming up too. So yeah, so it's just making those connections in the community, right? Because I think, again, people want it, and they want to be able to understand it, and they're like, hey, I have this. How do I make it work for everyone? And things. So that's where we, like I said, we could kind of come in and go. Cool. They're like, we want this, and this. This is my place. How can I make that adaptive? How can I make it inclusive? How do we get folks? We do a lot with a Safe Scuba as well. We do a Try It event out of Scuba as well each year. So that'll be another one that's on our list next year.
Wait, scuba as in scuba diving?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I want to do scuba diving.
There you go. So we do that. Usually it's in August. So, I mean, we don't have the dates for sure, but that's usually when we do it.
I'd love to do scuba diving, but I feel like it would be just too cold right now.
Yeah.
I see what you're looking really long wetsuit.
This is perfect for you. Like, Miguel, you do dragon boating too with NW.
Nuwaba.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Nuwaba. Yeah. Have you heard of Adaptive Sports Northwest before, Miguel? Or
yeah, I have. I met Jen in the past. But you know, I need to get more involved.
I did not make that connection. That's very cool.
What is something, Jen, that you want to like? What's a sport that you want? You're like, man, we should really have this. Like, do you think we should have like a, I don't know, like a baseball team in Portland or a bowling team? I think that'd be fun too.
Bowling team.
Well, so it's interesting you talk about. So I was going to say baseball, not necessarily beat baseball for sure. Maybe that one too. But the Miracle League. So we're working with Easter Seals too. They're trying to get a Miracle League field here, you know, and so that would be kind of cool. It's one of the ones when we do a survey and stuff like that. Baseball, softball has been a popular one. That's why we do pickleball now. It all came from a survey. So. Everybody pickleball nuts, right? Everybody's all about pickleball and stuff. And so that's what we added about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, with the new grant. So that was our newest sport that we added. you know, asked about kayaking before, we kind of kicked that off of our repertoire and put in pickleball and stuff. Because again, we work with a lot of folks in the area, right? So Adventures Without Limits and Leap and those type things, to they already have adaptive things and they do it well on the outdoors. So that's where we, you know, so I, you know, asked what we do with advocacy. So I think part of that too is also with the referral piece, right?
Yeah.
On what makes sense, what are you into? Awesome, and let's connect you to where that makes the most sense, if that's what you're into. Like I said before, we had, you know, we're doing a try thing with the fencing thing, but even before that, or with Portland Tennis Education Center, we knew wheelchair tennis was happening already over there. So we used those resources to kind of go, oh, you're into that? Awesome. Here's who you need to contact.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And just trying to get people in the right spot. So, you know, if people are kayaking, we're like, hey, Adventures Without Limits is right here in town.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get, that's who kind of handles more of the outdoor stuff. Or you're in the Bend area? Awesome. Oregon Adaptive Sports is down there, right? And if you want snow skiing and those things. So yeah, so it's just using those different resources and letting folks know, you know, what else out there. And so again, I'm all about the partnerships and community building versus trying to be in a silo. And yeah, it's not a competition, right?
No,
we're always going to be better collaborating.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think we did interview Adventures Without Limits recently.
Yeah.
Which was really fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, just like with trying out new things, I feel like the first thing, at least for me, and I speak for myself, is that it's so difficult to figure out what to start with, because I want to go out and I want to be more active, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, I want to do it with people, but at the same time, like, I don't know how to feel about doing it with strangers, but I also want to like meet new people.
Yep.
Like, is there like, I don't know, is there like a way to encourage people who are also just going through like difficulties like that, who are wanting to go out and do new things but are just afraid of reaching out?
So a lot of, again, I would encourage the website, and then contacting us, right? Rather that's through our programs at adaptivesportsnw.org, or calling us, you know, on the phone numbers that are listed. Mine's, you know, 503-241-0850. We're all willing to kind of talk through, rather through email or through the phone call, kind of talking about what is it your interest is, what makes sense, where does that entry point could be for you. And it might be that soft handoff to having that that talk with a coach or a volunteer, right? And doing those kind of things too. Like, hey, maybe I'm interested in archery. You know, okay, let me put you in contact with Matt, our program guy who runs archery, right? And things like that, so you can kind of know what to expect before you get there. And again, we also encourage folks too to just come check it out. You don't have to try wheelchair basketball, but if you want to come check it out, come check it out, right? And then maybe that's where you can talk and you can ask those questions and not feel obligated, like, oh my gosh, I have to know how to play wheelchair basketball to do that. No, or I have to know how to play goalball. Nah, just come to our practices, right? There's enough folks that are going to be able to talk with you and do more of the one-on-one if you need that, either prior to or, you know, at a practice or at a program. So.
Cool. Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite sport? And I bet you have a favorite sport. You play so many different kinds of sports. But what's your like absolute favorite that you like to play?
That's a tough one. Because like I said, my go-to is always basketball. Right? I love and always have loved basketball. And still my passion. Goalball obviously is way up there as well. It's been, you know, part of my life for 30 years. But I don't know. That changes, I think, on. And then are you talking watching or playing? Right? Because it's football season right now, so go Eagles, right? So that would be my thing.
Watching it would be?
Oh, yeah, football.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And what about playing it?
Playing it? That's what I'm saying. It's tough, right?
Yeah, no.
And right now, like, I'm training for Ironman.
Ooh.
So I still don't love running or swimming.
Yeah.
But I do. I love the methodical nature of training for it, though.
Yeah.
And it's because it's three different disciplines. It's fun because it's different workouts all the time, right?
Yeah,
and stuff. But I don't know. Like I said, goalball's still probably up there for my favorite to kind of play and play, coach, and just be involved with, for sure. So,
yeah. When do you have your Ironman?
Yeah,
October 18th. So I had to defer. I was supposed to actually do my Ironman last month, but I had to defer till next year because of medical. So, yeah. So October 18th, though, 2026.
So. We'll be cheering you on.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll probably do I did the 70.3 just over a year ago. And so I'll probably do that again down in Salem as a warm up. So that's a fun one.
And what are the distances for Ironman?
Yeah.
For the full Ironman?
Yeah.
2.4 miles swim, then followed by 112 mile bike, and then a full marathon. So 26.2.
Oh, like, I love running, but not that much.
Yeah. That's a lot of running.
It is a lot of running. So,
yeah.
Stick to try. Yeah, try. Sprint tries for now. Okay. Maybe one day when I'm in really good shape.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, like 2 miles of swimming, too. Oh,
2.4. Don't short the 0.4.
2.4.
So.
Yeah. Once again, you're listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. What's your favorite sport, Michelle? Oh my goodness, I was looking at Michelle, and I was going to say Miguel. I'm sorry.
Our names have a very similar ring to
you
it.
You both start with M.
Yes.
And I.
Yes. And we have that.
And then
that melody.
What is your favorite sport, if you have one?
Oh gosh, track and field, hands
track
down.
And field.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I love it. It's just like the variety of it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very cool. And have you done a lot of track and field in the past?
Before? Oh yes. Oh. Yeah.
I did too, school, by the way. Oh. I did too. I did it in high school. Yeah.
Fun.
What's your favorite, Miguel? And it can't be dragon boating. Because we already know that you do dragon boating.
My favorite? That's a really hard one. Mm-hmm. Favorite sport?
We can come back to you if you don't know.
I would say maybe, I really like swimming. I think I would love to be on a swimming team. That would be fun.
Ooh, yeah. Swimming team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be super fun.
That would be very fun. Yeah.
To get to do.
No. All right. Well, swimming happens on Sunday afternoons.
Oh. Hey, there you go.
Wait, do you dragon boating on the weekends, Miguel? Or?
Right now, practices have been canceled. I don't know why. People don't want to go out in the rain.
Oh, of course.
Be on the water, but not get hit by water.
Yeah. There's wind right now, too. So that could probably be a part of it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they're like, so one of the interesting sports that I've heard about is like, I think it's like cross country skiing, but then like they have targets they have to shoot.
Biathlon.
That's what it's called?
Yes.
A biathlon?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, biathlon.
Wow.
It's two sports.
Yeah. So fun.
It's cross country skiing and then you shoot.
Yep. That sounds so extreme. What if you hit something else?
you stop. It's a range.
Oh, okay.
So you get done and you flip your rifle because they have it. It's a Paralympic sport as well.
Okay. I thought it was like just kind of skiing around and then they're like, here's a flying target.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that too.
You ski into the thing and then you, and then you shoot standing.
Okay. So you're not skiing and shooting at the same time.
No,
that would take some skill.
That would actually be very skilled.
Yeah, it's the whole. I mean, right. The challenge of that is right because you're getting your cardio up, right? Because it's miles of cross country skiing. Then you have to stop and be able to steady enough to shoot while breathing.
Wow.
Right? So it's all control.
Wow. That's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Paralympic sport. Winter Paralympic sport. So, and it's both seated, amateur and VI categories.
Oh, wow.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think at least a sport for myself. And I played volleyball when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I think because it was just the stereotype for my entire class. All the girls played volleyball. All the guys played soccer. And I was just like, all right, whatever. I'll just play some volleyball.
Yeah.
Was not good at it at all. I would injure myself so much trying to save those shots.
Do you want to try sit volleyball?
Do what volleyball?
We have sit volleyball. That'll
sit
start
volleyball?
Up in January.
What's sit volleyball?
It's played on a smaller court, but you're seated. The net's lower. And basically when you make contact with the ball, the rules are the same, except for when you make contact with the ball, your buttock / hip region has to be in contact with the floor while you make contact with the ball.
Oh, wow. That's, you have to have a strong core with that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
How do you...
Can you move around?
Yeah, you can move.
On your butt? You just shuffle around?
It's a whole art, but if you come out to sit volleyball, we can show you.
Cool.
We can show you techniques.
Okay.
Wow. I feel like we need to go and like look at all the sports.
Yeah.
And try out all the sports and then come back for a follow up.
Yeah. No, exactly. And be like,
take a little tour of all the sports. There you go.
Yeah. We can do like a mini series of like us trying everything out and be like, okay, what do you guys think of all these?
Asher, Michelle, and Miguel tries adaptive sports.
Yeah. So I think that can be a fun.
There you go. Yeah,
and since Kayla, our boss, loves the snippets of like different
the PCC
audio
PCC Try
things.
Guys.
Oh yes, the PCC Try Guys.
Oh my gosh.
Except it's accessibility tries.
Accessibility tries, guys.
TM.
Something. Yep.
That would be super cool.
Jen, do you have any success stories as far as like working with Adaptive Sports Northwest? Like, have you seen any person that's come in and is like, I'm not sure what to try, and then they tried out something and was like, really loved it?
There's a lot of them, right? Wow. So where to start?
What's
with
your favorite? Yeah.
maybe I'll start with more recent ones. I think one of the ones is the kids are always going to be a thing for me, right? I mean, it's just so to watch them, you know, to go, hey, can I have a sports chair for my P class, and to have them come back and go from, yeah. So the kid, he was doing a focus group for me, and he's like, PE sucks. That was his thing, right? He's like, it stinks. And I'm like, okay. You know, 14-year-old kid, you know, and he's like, they don't know what to do. They just have me go outside and, you know, push in my chair, my everyday chair. But I want to play. And then but credit to his adaptive phys ed class, his school, they're like, they came to us and went, okay, he says you have these sports chairs. How do we get one? And stuff. So we worked with the schools to do that. And then I saw him like 3 months later, and he went from the kid, they didn't want him on the P, right? He's like, they never wanted me on the team. They didn't want whatever. He goes, I'm the coolest kid now in school, in my P class. Like, because we gave him not one, but two sports chairs. So he would be in a sports chair, but then somebody on the other team would be in a sports chair as well. And there's a big fight over who gets to be in the cool sports chair. Right? They're fast, they're agile, they're, you know, and stuff like that. So to see this kid that's like, I hate PE. Two, this is the coolest thing ever, because he's a sporty guy. Like, he loves sports, loves being active, and going, I can fully participate.
That is so
right.
Cool.
Awesome. You know, and he went from a middle school, that was in a middle school, now he's in the high school, and his high school stepped up this year too and said the same thing. They're like, we want it. What do we need to do? Let's get it. So I think that's one of the cooler ones. And then I think one of the other more recent ones too is, you know, newly injured spinal cord injury athlete that. Had, you know, played standing basketball, and we introduced them to wheelchair basketball for the first time, which was cool, not only watching the sport and having basketball back in their life, but to me, like, the bigger stuff to watch through that year was someone traveling for the first time, right? Had never been on a plane since their injury type thing, and watching their growth of, or the first time they got into, you know, a different vehicle, because again, life is not this perfectly adaptive, accessible place, right?
No.
But traveling with sports and stuff, like, you know, elevators go down, right? Things happen and things. And so to watch this individual just start problem solving that through, not just on her own, but with her teammates that have lived that experience too, right? Like, oh, this is how I transfer to a really big Toyota Tundra, you know, and things, or this is what I need, or what assistance do I need, or what can I do on my own, or how do I build that up, and things, or hey, this transfer board really works really well for me, or this is, you know, the first time we were transferring was like, how do I get into a big Sprinter van? How do I do that? And things. So just watching those things that happen off the court to me are as important, if not more important, than what happens on the court. You know, same thing for kids, right? Like, we're a stickler for our kids. We don't make parents go, right?
Oh, you don't?
Okay. Oh, absolutely not, right? Because in what other U-12, U-15 travel team, your parents don't have to go, right? Yeah. And stuff. So we're very committed to making sure that it is on them, so they can have that experience of being a kid, right? Traveling in a van, traveling in a bus with their teammates, having the hotel experience, right? But also the experience of, guess what? Laundry needs to get done. You need to get it done. You know, or different things. Like, they're all the things that they learn off the court to me are as valuable, if not more valuable, than the X's and O's are on the court. And so our volunteers and our coaches that work with youth and or even with our adults and different things, like, they know it, they get it, they come from that part of it. On where do you step in? How do you get them to advocate for themselves? And then just watch them getting stronger and stronger, right? I mean, I just got back from a wheelchair basketball trip a couple weeks ago with this individual, and just watching them transfer to car, I'm like, wow, you're getting totally way stronger. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, where a year ago before it was, what do I do? And then so that to watch them, you know, transfer into a 15 passenger on their own and doing those kind of things as they get stronger, more confident in what they're doing, or traveling, you know, they travel for the first time with their injury with us on a basketball trip, and then to be able to send them to a camp on their own, like to negotiate traveling all by themselves, you know, they were like, it's not something I thought was in my future. So those to me are the cooler stories, right? And watching that happen. So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
sorry, I'm looking through my list. I'm like, what other questions have I not asked you yet? How did adaptive sports start? I would say is my question. Yeah,
human art organization. I assume.
Yeah.
Not the,
how did yeah.
I was like, do you want to
start?
Tell, like, do you want the history of
the okay. whole history? Yeah. I would say, yeah. If you can tell me the whole history, that'll be great too.
I can tell you the history of the Paralympics.
Yes.
So it started after World War II, right? You had a lot of injured soldiers coming back, and so the Mandoff Games, they started that with kind of wheelchair sports, different things, and then 1960 were the first Paralympic Games in Rome. But it really was because injured military, that's where the where it started, really, was injured military folks coming back. So that's how the kind of Paralympics started, and really about adaptive sports, really, was, you know, injured folks coming back from war and going, hey, you know, sports is such a big culture in the military. And so you had all these soldiers returning with injuries and different things going, oh, I still want to shoot archery. I still want to play basketball. I still want to do X, Y, or Z. And so that's kind of where that, you know, the Paralympic Games grew from the Spanfield Games down in England, back in 19, now I'm going to really test my history. 40 something, I think, were the first Mansfield Games.
1940s, 40
something. I don't remember the exact, but yeah, 49 maybe? Mm. It's on my test in the class that I teach at Portland State. Actually, it's an extra credit question, so they had to look it up.
You did it!
Exactly, it's an extra credit question. But as far as Adaptive Sports Northwest, been around since 1982.
Wow.
With about three different name changes. Again, kind of started from a wheelchair sports perspective and kind of concentrating on basketball was kind of the main sport at that time. Mm. It's grown and grown and grown. Like I said, I came and I moved to Portland in 2010.
Oh, okay.
And things, and since then, you know, with being part of the organization, like I said, it was Oregon Disability Sports when I came to it, and then it was, you know, Adaptive Sports Northwest now. Mm. But even since I've came in 2010, we've probably almost doubled our offerings.
Wow.
Because we, you know, we added power soccer, we added goalball, track and field, pickleball, and sit volleyball. So yeah, so we definitely doubled. It kind of, before it was kind of wheelchair basketball, rugby, were kind of the two major sports that you kind of saw. A little bit of folks with and cycling were kind of our three main sports when I first got here. Mm. And they were kind of dabbling into the other things and different stuff, because again, it was even a smaller organization than what we are now. And we're still, if you add us all up, we're still under three part-time. Three full-time staff. If you add everybody up and things like that. So we do a lot with very little, which is why we absolutely depend on volunteers, donations, grants, and those type of things to be able to operate. Because our impact report's almost done. We had almost 1,000 folks that with disabilities that we contacted last year.
1,000.
Wow. Just under that. Between coaches, athletes, and different things that were there. Mm-hmm. And that's not counting like the bigger impact, right? When you start talking about the other impact that you have around families and things like that, and just the general public, it'd be a lot higher. But 900 plus individuals for sure that we tapped into, you know, between competitions, practices, everything. Cool. So.
And Jen, how did the what are your experiences like with the family seeing their loved ones like grow in love of sports, or like their love of like learning new things? Have you seen any changes in that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I go back to our cycling series, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, we get a bike as a family in a safe environment, right? We have a 2-mile track that's paved and nice, and we're not having to worry about anything else. And because, like I said, maybe your kid or your spouse or your friend or your partner is their first time on an adaptive, right? Maybe they haven't biked since their injury. Mm-hmm. Or they've just never been exposed to bike. Maybe they were born with a disability, but they've never been able to bike, right? And so to watch them go, whoa, there is a bike. Oh, I can do this. And how do we go from there? You know, right? They said that's checking one out so they can go on other biking adventures with their families. Or like I said, even playing with their kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like knowing that we have our youth wheelchair basketball, but we have enough chairs there too. Couple of bigger ones too, that, you know, to watch parents get in it or sibling and go, I get to play with my brother or my sister, right? Like,
sweet.
Because that's not something that they've been able to experience before. So that absolutely has been fun to watch. And like I said, that's what we encourage, right?
Mm-hmm.
is those, to have that experience, right? So not every, I mean, I can't get my kid out of a wheelchair basketball if he's at a tournament. Like, he loves playing wheelchair basketball. He doesn't like stand, I could not get him to love basketball. And I love the sport, but he loves wheelchair basketball. Absolutely adores it and loves playing it. And I don't know, it's because he's not quite tall yet, so he's like, sweet, everybody's playing seated. I don't know. I don't really know. But he and he loves the chairs. He loves the speed of the chairs, the agility of the chairs, and things like that. And so, but to watch, I mean, that's the last practice I was at, you know, with the youth kids. It was fun to just watch. You know, I think we had two different siblings that jumped into it. And I think a dad jumped in and wanted to play too and stuff like that, because he's like, I get to shoot hoops with my kid. And stuff. So in a different way, you know, or we were at a triad thing, or it wasn't even a triad thing, it was a community thing for when the announcement of the fire. Mm-hmm. Well, before the fire was announced, we just knew we were getting a WNBA team. But we were set out at the Blazers thing, and it was actually one of our board members and her partner, son has a disability, and ambulatory CP, but we had our wheelchair, kind of a Papa Shot type thing going on with our little hoop, and he got in a chair for the first time, and he was so much more agile, right, and loved it, where he's played Special Olympics basketball standing, but his balance is a little bit questionable, you know, and different things, but he loves wheelchair basketball, right? And so those are the things, and to watch his dad go, oh my gosh, like, why didn't we do this years ago? We know about you guys, like, we just hadn't thought or made that connection of doing that. Like, we have a lot of folks with you know, with amateur that might use walkers or different things that aren't everyday chair users, but again, trying to do a sport with their walker or different things might not be it, but now they've been introduced to a sports chair and they're like, oh, I don't have to worry about my balance, I don't have to worry about this, and I can play basketball, and I can play pickleball, and I can play all these different sports that that I didn't know I could, and things, whether that's in the PE setting or that's even with their family. So it's definitely, it's a huge impact. And I think I always go back to, I think that's the cooler stuff than our X's and O's sometimes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
from the impact.
Yeah, I know. Definitely.
And Jen, what do you think of, like, I know for me, I've always struggled with, like, going to gyms because people see my cane and they're, like, scared and they don't want to give me, like, a membership. And I'm I just want to use the treadmill or use, you know, like, the equipment or go to water aerobics or, you know, like, those types of things. Like, have you guys partnered with any gyms in the area? Like,
we have not formally partnered. We have partnered though with plenty of gyms in the area, and things. And a lot of that is from our members, right? Going, hey, I have this 24-hour fitness, or I have this whatever, or I have whatever gym, whatever X gym, and stuff like that. And I have this disability. This is what I'd like. How do I make it happen? And things. And so I think that's so we've came in again to kind of help places kind of with the educational part of that, or again trying to get our folks to also advocate for themselves too on what they need and how, and education gets exhausting though. Right, it absolutely gets exhausting. And things. And so, you know, that's one of our big partners too. East Portland Community Center is one of our big partners and things like that, and their gym is accessible. Like, it's a totally cool place, and a lot of parks, you know, a lot of the rec centers obviously are going to that. Hillsborough, Hidden Creek out in Hillsborough, is fully accessible. So I think that's also, again, just like driving folks to other places, is going, hey, do you know these other resources already exist?
Yeah.
Right? So maybe if you don't want to go to commercial gym A, like, have you thought about Portland community centers? And where do you live at? And how do we get you in there? You know, or rather that's Tualatin Hills, or there's different places that that we can access and things like that. So we definitely have done that. Or I mean, we've even done it for like apartment complexes, right? Yeah. Like, I have my apartment complex and I want this treadmill and I want it to be accessible, but it's not what I need to do. I'm like, scotch tape and toothpicks, it's awesome, right? And stuff. I'm not asking you to make everything Braille and do all that kind of stuff, but I can make an up arrow and a down arrow and a quick start really easy.
And a stoplight.
Correct, because that's what everybody worries about, right? Sometimes is how the cost of things, right? Like, and things. And I'm like, I always call it cheap and easy, right? There's a lot of ways to make it cheap and easy, and a lot of it is around education and just making folks. Again, I think they want to do it, they just don't know how, and they're scared. So their go to is just like, no.
Because
they're scared. So.
Well, now I know that the East Community Center is accessible, I might be checking it out soon.
It's fun. That's my primary training site for my for my Ironman stuff. But it's also, our office is right across the street, so it's helpful.
Cool. I can start practicing for my triathlon. I got to beat somebody by 40 minutes next year, so.
40 minutes?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we're getting to the end of our time soon, but do we, any of us, have any, like, closing statements, especially you, Jen? Is there anything you want to tell our audience as far as, like, encouraging them to either volunteer or come check out the sports events going on at Adaptive?
I mean, that would be my thing is, yeah, check out our website, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey.
We had our first viral go the other day on Instagram, over 3 million.
Wow. 3 million.
Yeah, it was over 3 million.
Congratulations.
Yeah, user likes.
We didn't
likes.
Really know what to do. We're like, what do we do? And things. So, but yeah, so yeah, follow us on Instagram, Facebook would be great. And just like I said, it's, you know, check out our website, see how you can get involved. Whether that's, again, wanting to check out as an athlete, you want to check out as a volunteer, or you just want to come check out because Adaptive Sports is awesome. just, yeah, check out what we do and see how you can get involved.
Very cool. Well, Miguel, you want to close us off with our closing statement or outro?
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk. Portland Community College's podcast is about disability culture. Find more information and resources concerning this episode and others at pcc.edu/DCA. You can also find listed resources on today's episode page hosted on kboo.fm. Search for Let's Talk. This episode was produced by the Let's Talk Podcast Collective. It is a collaborative effort between students, the Accessible Education and Disability Resource Department, the PCC Multimedia Department, and KBOO. We post newly recorded content biweekly on our home webpage. Again, that's pcc.edu/DCA. And we hope you always tune into our shows here on KBOO every first and third Friday of the month at 11 a.m. We'll be right back.
We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.
Listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM and streaming on the web, kboo.fm. I'm Don Jacobson, and moving on, we'll be here in just a few minutes right after the news.